Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first on Monday's show. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to World Marathon champion Ruth Chepngetich of Kenya, who set a new half-marathon world record Sunday in Istanbul, Turkey. Ruth clocked 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 2 seconds, smashing the previous mark by 29 seconds. Ethiopia's Yalimzerf Yehualau finished 38 seconds behind Chepngetich, and Kenya's two-time world 5,000 meters champion, Helen Obiri, was third in 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 51 seconds. It's the first time three women have finished inside 65 minutes in one half marathon. For new world record holder Ruth Chepngetich, meanwhile, it shows she's in great shape ahead of this year's Tokyo Olympics. Ruth was selected for Kenya's Olympic marathon team, and she'll be making her Olympic debut in Japan. Meanwhile, Kenyan athletic fans had more reason to smile in the men's half marathon race in Istanbul. World record holder Kibiwot Kandy of Kenya won in a course record time of 59 minutes and 35 seconds. Another Kenyan, three-time world half marathon champion Jeffrey Kamwar, finished 3 seconds behind Kandy. And third place went to Kenya's Ronsir Kipkorir, who clocked 59 minutes and 46 seconds. Well, let's continue honoring the ladies, and let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the women's basketball team from Stanford University, which won their third national title Sunday night in San Antonio, Texas. The Cardinal of Stanford edged the Wildcats of Arizona by 1 point, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Haley Jones scored 17 points as the Cardinal held off Pac-12 rival Arizona 54-53. Stanford built a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter before Arizona cut it to 51-50 on star guard Ari McDonald's 3-pointer. Following a timeout, Jones answered with a 3-point play with 2:24 left to close the Cardinal scoring.
It's surreal to be here right now. I don't think it's still honestly even hit me yet, even standing up looking at the confetti. I'm just still waiting for it to really kick in.
McDonald had a game-high 22 points for the Wildcats, who were trying to become the fourth team to win the title game after trailing by double digits. The Cardinal are national champions for the third time and first in 29 years. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In U.S. men's college basketball, the national champion will be decided later Monday night when undefeated Gonzaga, bidding for a perfect season, plays Baylor University of Texas in Indianapolis, Indiana. In a classic semifinal contest, Gonzaga defeated UCLA in overtime on a last-second shot. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
It will go down as one of the greatest shots in Final Four history. Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs banked in a miracle three at the buzzer, giving the Bulldogs a 93-90 overtime win over UCLA.
It was nuts, and I still can't speak. I mean, I just can't believe that happened. I don't think it's really going to hit me, you know, until I wake up tomorrow. But, I mean, tonight was special.
Drew Timmy scored 25 points to lead the Zags. Johnny Juzang finished with 29 to top the Bruins.
There's no regrets. Just everybody fought to the last play. And, you know, the last shot is the last shot. But so grateful to call these guys teammates. We are who we are. And, you know, every game we went out and left it out there and, you know, let the best man win.
The win sends 31-0 Gonzaga into Monday's national championship game against Baylor. I am Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Baylor had a much easier time in reaching the final in beating another school from Texas. The AP's Tom McCabe reports.
Top-seeded Baylor built up a 25-point halftime lead and cruised to a 78-59 win over Houston. The Bears are going to the NCAA championship game for the first time since 1948. Baylor had five players in double figures, led by Jarrett Butler with 17.
I'm a shooter. Sometimes the ball goes in, sometimes the ball doesn't go in. And it's just about me staying confident through it all. And tonight, the ball went in.
The top-seeded Cougars were held to 38% shooting and were led by Marcus Sasser's 20 points. Houston had won 11 straight. Baylor takes a 27-2 record into the championship game. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. The 12-team Basketball Africa League will tip off its inaugural season in mid-May in Kigali, Rwanda. Rivers Hoopers Club will represent Nigeria in the two-week tournament. The team is currently preparing for the competition in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Joining us now from Port Harcourt is Iron Mike Mbonye. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt is one of the 12 teams that will tip off the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League. At the basketball arena in Port Harcourt, players and officials of Rivers Hoopers have commenced preparations for the games, scheduled for May 16 to 30th at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. Ogo Daudu is the head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club.
Well, it's the inaugural edition, and of course, we all want to do very well at that tournament. Preparation are going to start top gear from Tuesday, even though we'll be preparing individually, but we're going to go into closed camping from Tuesday after the break, and we have like a month plus to get ready, and so we are going to do the best we can to get ready for that ball. Of course, we know that we have to bring in some foreign players too, as per ball requirements, and that is the process that we're going through right now. We have a lot of offers from outside, and we're combing through them very well to find out which ones suit our style of play and which ones can help us most. So as for now, that's what we're doing.
Odaudu, also the assistant head coach of Nigeria's national men's basketball team, says Rivers Hoopers is optimistic of a good outing in Rwanda. Ronald Alalebo, the vice captain of Rivers Hoopers, says the team is aware of the challenges before them.
We are expecting to meet a much formidable teams, so we are trying to put our acts together to see if we can salvage the best we can to withstand the challenges in front of us. It's the inaugural one, so everybody is expecting the best of the best to be there. So basically, so the other teams are expecting us to come, and they are preparing towards us.
Victor Anthony, Rivers Hoopers Center, says the Basketball Africa League will be an avenue to expose African talents in basketball.
For me, it's a good thing and a welcome development, because I have been playing outside. I played in Nigeria for some years, and I notice it's a good development. If we as the players here in Nigeria can be having this kind of exposure, it will be very, very nice for us, not just locally, but internationally. Because if you go outside, when playing outside, you discover that the basketball is quite different from what you're playing back home. And this NBA league is a good avenue for a player like me to showcase myself and to show to Africa continent that, yes, we have a good team here in Port Harcourt, Rivers State, Nigeria.
The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, NBA. It builds on the foundation of club competitions FIBA Regional Office Africa has organized on the continent, and marks the NBA's first collaboration to operate a league outside of North America. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. I'm Ogo Daudu, head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. And good luck to Rivers Hoopers in the Basketball Africa League. Amadou Gallo Fall is the president of the Basketball Africa League. In an interview with the Voice of America in Johannesburg, Amadou talked about the league's significance.
The Basketball Africa League is another milestone in the NBA's effort to grow the game across the continent. As you know, we've opened the NBA Africa office in Johannesburg in 2010, right before the FIFA World Cup. But before that, we had launched Basketball Without Borders in 2003, where we brought 100 young boys ages 18 and under, and later on we added a program for the women also. That program is a partnership between the NBA and FIBA. It is our global community outreach and basketball development program. You know, and I think we are in the 17th, we would have conducted the 18th edition last year, if COVID had permitted, of the Basketball Without Borders program. But that program that we ran every year from 2003 really gave us an impetus to think about having a physical presence on the ground, because we saw a tremendous opportunity to grow the sport. You know, the talent was certainly here and was always here. That talent had found its way in the NBA. As we know, great legends like Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo, Manute Bol, and a host of other you know, younger players who made their mark in the NBA. Basketball Without Borders was the first opportunity to provide young players an opportunity to showcase their talent and be coached by NBA team personnel and coaches. When we opened the office, we thought that we wanted to focus on really making the game more accessible to young boys and girls who have a passion and wants to play the game. And the decade that was from 2010 to 20, you know, really to today, all the developments and all the activities we've conducted have led now to the launch of this professional basketball league that is Pan-African, that is a collaboration between FIBA and the NBA. So I think it's a natural evolution after really priming the region and shining a spotlight on the game, growing it from grassroots level. Now is the time to launch a professional league that will showcase African talent and that would also attract global talent.
In his interview with the Voice of America, Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo Fall talked about the BAL's composition and how the teams qualified.
The Basketball Africa League is a Champions League model. It is building on the tradition of club basketball championships that FIBA, our partner, has been running. You have national leagues in all the countries across the continent. We are taking the champions of national leagues into the Basketball Africa League. And the way we structured this, there were six out of the 12 teams that come from countries that we pre-selected based on really their history with basketball tradition, the popularity of the sport, the level of infrastructure, and also where they fit if you look at the rankings, you know, in terms of basketball historically across the continent. The six countries that I talked about were Nigeria, which is going to represent Africa in the next Olympics. In the past few years, they've been, you know, a perennial presence in terms of really not only the talent they continue to produce into the NBA, but just their performances in international competition. Teams from Nigeria, Angola, Senegal, Egypt, Tunisia, and Morocco will qualify automatically. And those represent, in some form of order, you know, the top six, you know, teams, and they are definitely in the top 10 on the continent. And the other six teams are coming from countries that FIBA, our partners, organized qualifiers. Teams from 30 countries participated to deliver the other six. They came from Cameroon, Madagascar, Rwanda, Algeria, Mali, and Mozambique.
That's Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall speaking with the Voice of America in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again with a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with an Egyptian football star. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian talisman Mo Salah and substitute Diogo Jota were both on the scoreboard for Liverpool in a 3-0 win against Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium. The Reds are now fifth in the Premier League, closing the gap on fourth-place Chelsea, whose manager Thomas Tuchel suffered its first defeat as the Blues were beaten 5-2 by Sam Allardyce's West Brom. The Blues took the lead midway through the first half, thanks to a goal from American playmaker Christian Pulisic. However, things changed when Thiago Silva was sent off for a second bookable offense, and West Brom turned it around with two goals from Matheus Pereira, Callum Robinson, and Senegalese frontman Mbaye, ensuring an embarrassing defeat for the Blues. In other fixtures, French left-back of Senegalese descent Benjamin Mendy and Gabriel Jesus both recorded their names on the score sheet, as league leaders Manchester City beat Leicester 2-0 at the King Power Stadium to move closer to the Premier League title. There's no rest for the Blues in their hunt for a quadruple, and they face Borussia Dortmund on Tuesday in their first leg of the Champions League last 16 tie. The rivals Manchester United avoided falling victim to the top four wobbles of the Premier League weekend, coming back from an early deficit to beat Brighton and Hove Albion 2-1 at Old Trafford on Sunday. Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood scored second-half goals after United went down to a goal from long-time United forward Danny Welbeck and was spared a penalty by VAR. Here is Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer speaking to the media after the match.
Excellent spirit and attitude and character, and of course quality to come back. You know, sometimes the game doesn't work the way you want to. I thought we started brightly, played some good stuff, but we make easy mistakes in your own half too many times and you'll get punished, and they punished us. So we had to react again. As you said, we've done that so many times, and it's not a position that you want to be in, but these boys have now showed time and time again that we can compose ourselves and keep building momentum and creating chances.
That was Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer speaking after his side's victory against Brighton at Old Trafford. The win gives United 60 points, 14 behind leaders Manchester City, with the Red Devils holding a match in hand. Tottenham Hotspur missed the chance to move up to fourth place in the Premier League after relegation threatened. Newcastle United held them to a 2-2 draw at St. James's Park. Spurs led 2-1 at the break thanks to a quick-fire double from Harry Kane, but an 85th-minute equaliser from Joe Willock prevented Mourinho's side from securing victory. Spurs have now dropped 11 points this season due to goals conceded in the final 10 minutes. Their manager, Jose Mourinho, accused the team of being architects of their own downfall.
It's not a good point. We should, and we come, of course, with the objective to win it. So, not happy with the point. And I don't want to go very deep on my analyse, because I feel that what I feel, what I think, what I want to say cannot be with you, can only be in the dressing room.
That's Tottenham's manager Jose Mourinho speaking after his team secured a draw at Newcastle United. Moving on to the French league, Paris Saint-Germain's Brazilian star Neymar was sent off late, as the French league champions' hope of claiming a fourth successive league title were dented by Lille. It is the first time in a quarter of a century that Lille has beaten PSG in the capital, with Canadian Jonathan David scoring the winner in a 1-0 victory as the Parisians slammed to a third successive home defeat. Ahead of Saturday's title showdown, the two teams had been level on 63 points at the top of the table, with PSG leading on goal difference. But with 7 games to go, Lille looks in pole position to win the French league for the first time in a decade. Monaco also returned from the international break in style by resoundingly defeating Metz at home, thanks to goals from Cesc Fabregas, Kevin Volland, and a French footballer of Tunisian descent, Wissam Ben Yedder Brass. Monaco now move into third on the table, a point ahead of Lyon, who lost ground in the title race after being held to a 1-1 draw at Lens. Marseille also condemned bottom side Dijon to an 11th defeat in a row after securing a 2-0 victory to climb to within a point of 5th place Lens. And in Spain, leaders Atletico Madrid suffered a rare 1-0 La Liga defeat as Marcus Acuna's header and Sevilla victory. Atletico, chasing a first league title since 2014, are 3 points clear at the top with 9 games left. Marco Asensio and French star of Algerian descent Karim Benzema scored in a 2-0 win over Eibar as Real Madrid tightened the Spanish league title race, moving to within 3 points of leaders Atletico Madrid. The Los Blancos host Liverpool on Tuesday in the first leg of the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Barcelona is 4 points behind and will play Real Valladolid on Monday. In Italy, AC Milan secured a 1-1 draw at home to 10-man Sampdoria. A point does little for the Rossoneri's fading Serie A title hopes, as it left the second-place side 8 points behind leaders Inter, who earned a 1-0 win at Bologna, thanks to Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku's 20th Serie A goal of the season. Lukaku struck after 32 minutes to become the 7th player in Inter's 113-year history to reach the 20-goal mark in 2 consecutive Serie A seasons, after notching 23 in his debut campaign last year. And in other news, 5-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo also salvaged a 2-all Serie A draw for Juventus after Antonio Sanabria's double threatened to secure a shock derby win for struggling Torino. The draw lifts Juventus into 4th, level on points with 5th-place Napoli. And Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. This Olympic update, 12-year-old skateboarder Sky Brown has recovered from a fall she suffered in 2020 and is on track to make her Olympic debut at the Tokyo Games in July. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has the details of how Sky now hopes to be a double threat Olympian. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In May of 2020, Sky Brown suffered a horrific 15-foot fall that resulted in multiple fractures in her skull, lacerations to her lungs and stomach, stomach and broken bones in her left hand. Well, nearly 1 year later, the beaming skateboarding prodigy spoke to Reuters News from her home in the U.S. state of California and said she is fully recovered and stronger than ever.
I'm feeling stronger, actually, because it doesn't really make you stronger. But, yeah, it was a pretty hard time. My parents, like, I mean, they didn't really want me to skate before, but after that, they were like, there's no way you're going back on the skateboard. And they were just like, it was a very hard time. My brother was right behind the ramp watching that from behind. It was tough. But I'm good now and still skating, which is good.
And Skye is still on course to become Britain's youngest Olympian at this year's Tokyo Games. She turns 13 in July, just 11 days before the start of the Olympics. And if she qualifies to compete, she'll break the 92-year record set by swimmer Marjorie Hinton, who was 13 years and 43 days old when she competed at the Olympics in 1928. In 2020, Skye was forced to put her Olympic dreams on hold after the Tokyo Games were postponed, but she says she used the one-year delay to improve her skills on the skateboard.
Well, at first, when I heard the Olympics, you know, was delayed, I was sad. I thought my dreams were, you know, gone. Like, I couldn't be in the Olympics anymore, and I felt sad, but then I realized it was just delayed, and, you know, we just get more time to get better, and I got to spend time with my family.
And Skye says she's got a few new tricks up her sleeve.
Going higher now, I've learned some new tricks, and I can't wait. It's going to be really cool, and I think all the girls are getting better, too. So now we just have a better show.
Skye is set to compete as the only female member of Team Great Britain when skateboarding makes its highly anticipated debut at this year's Olympic Games. But Skye says she's already looking to broaden her horizons as a double threat Olympian on the skateboard and the surfboard.
It's really fun surfing because I love like surfing as much as I love skating. And I actually want to compete in surfing next year for the Olympics. The next Olympics in Paris.
We'll have to see whether or not Skye can qualify to surf for Great Britain in Tokyo. She would first have to compete in the British Cup, and it's still unclear if she'll be allowed to do so. But she always has Paris, and those games are in just 3 short years in 2024. In the meantime, Skye hopes to serve as an inspiration on her Olympic journey. And she has a message for everyone, especially female athletes who have fallen down and found the strength to get back up again.
Her message is be brave, be strong, have fun, and do it because you love it. Don't let anybody stop you.
And nothing is stopping Skye Brown. Be sure to keep an eye out for Skye when the Los Angeles Olympics roll around in 2028. At that time, Skye will no doubt be making her third appearance at an Olympic Games, and she'll only be 19. The sky's the limit for Skye Brown. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Another Olympic update. Helen Maroulis clinched a berth on Team USA for the Tokyo Games over the weekend in Fort Worth, Texas. That's where the U.S. Olympic wrestling team trials were held. Competing in the 57-kilogram class, Maroulis beat Jenna Burkert 2-1, pinning Burkert seconds into the third round. Now, Helen Maroulis is from Rockville, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C. After winning the Olympic gold medal in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Helen was diagnosed with a concussion in 2018, and the effects lingered for months. After winning over the weekend in Fort Worth, Helen Maroulis revealed that she's been wrestling recently with a torn knee ligament. But in her words, and I quote, "When the ligament popped, I screamed, but I deeply believed I was supposed to make the U.S. Olympic wrestling team again." And that wraps up the April 5th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.